Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations and happy Mother's Day. Here we are, May 14th, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to our studios the Narragansett Bay Symphony Orchestra, and representing the orchestra are two people this time. Ben Vickers is back. Welcome back, Ben.
Thank you, Mike.
You are the main man, the conductor, the maestro, the one that everybody pays attention to, right?
Yes. Yes. For better or worse, I guess so, yes.
All right. There you go. And Susan, I'm going to try this, see if I remember, Weithaler?
That's right, Weithaler.
Wow, look at that. And Susan, you've been with the orchestra for quite a while.
Since 2008.
2008, and you're the publicity person and the one that makes all the arrangements, more
or less? Not all of them. Amy Goldstein and I have been working together getting the information out to the community about the orchestra.
Well, I'd say welcome, but you've actually been here before, although not on air with us, so. Welcome to the on-air portion of
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations.
It's great to be here with you.
Let's find out a little bit about what's been happening. I know that you've had some very successful events this past season since we've seen you last. I know that there was one in March that I guess it's called SRO, right?
Yes, it was. That's for standing room only. We had a very big turnout for the March 5th concert that Sunday, where our violin soloist was Jesse Holstein of Community Music Works and also concertmaster of the New Bedford Symphony, and he played the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto with us, and it was a really great collaboration with him for all of us. He really treated the piece like large-scale chamber music, and it was the furthest thing you can imagine from the typical soloist situation where the orchestra just gets everything ready and the soloist shows up at the last minute and we put it together and, you know, a rehearsal or something and then do the concert. This was, he came every rehearsal that he could actually come to, and he said, I think, as much about the piece and as much about the vision of the piece we were creating as I did. So it was a very collaborative thing, and it really went very well, and we have a little bit of the performance to play in a moment where I think you can hear that SRO, standing room only crowd at the end. But it went very well, and it was a great time.
We'll get to that in a moment. We want to talk mostly today about the concert coming up in just about 3 weeks, June 4th. Next concert date, is that correct, Susan?
Yes, that's correct,
June 4th. And that's going to be where and when?
It's going to be Sunday, June 4th at 3 p.m. at the Smith Center for the Arts at Providence College. And we use the Eaton Street entrance, and there will be a sign there.
Okay, Providence College, and is there a way to get tickets in advance?
There is. You can visit our website, nabsco.org, nabsco.org, and there is a place there where you can purchase tickets online, and I would strongly suggest that you try to do that, because as Ben and Mike just said, we had standing room only for our last concert.
Okay, and the tickets are $150 each?
No. Part of our mission is to keep our concerts affordable and on a Sunday afternoon so people can attend. And the general admission is $15, and it's $5 for seniors and students, and children 12 and under are free.
Wow, that's a great deal. And I $5 for seniors, that's hardly worth printing the ticket. You're probably losing money.
We recycle our tickets.
Okay, well, that explains that. All right, Ben, let's talk just briefly, if you will, about the size of the orchestra, and a tiny bit about their background.
Sure. The orchestra, it varies a little bit depending on which concert we're doing. At our largest, we're just about 65 people. and sometimes more. When we did the Mahler Fourth Symphony, for example, we were a little bit larger because it just takes more people, but we go up and down. The orchestra's comprised of, I was just about to say, brilliant people in all kinds of fields. We have lawyers, we have doctors and medical students, we have engineers, not to hit the, you know, hit the token positions there, but we've got, you know, lots of, we have a veterinarian, we have, we have lots of music teachers.
A dentist,
that's right. And there are two reasons I bring that up. Most community orchestras, most orchestras like ours don't present chamber music concerts, for example, but we have started over the last few years a series of chamber music concerts. One of them was April 23rd, mm-hmm. where just groups from the orchestra presented pieces that they prepared on their own outside of rehearsals, and that went very, very well. And that's something that not every orchestra like ours does. And it's just a shout out to one person in particular who actually made the recording we're about to hear, is the bassoonist Saul Weuthaler, who's related to Susan, her husband. He's a great bassoonist. Once he played as loud as four people in one of the early rehearsals for the Berlioz movements calls for four bassoons, and I looked and he was playing it by himself at one point and I didn't even notice. He's a great player and also a great audiophile, which is a fancy way of saying sound guy, he makes these recordings and they come out very, very well. So we're proud to have him and people like him in the orchestra.
Well, excellent. Well, let's listen to a little piece of music now. I say little. It's actually quite a lengthy piece, so we're going to just listen to this one piece. Then after that, we'll take a break. What is this one about?
This is the final movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto from our March 5th concert that we were talking about earlier with Jesse Holstein, and this is the last piece on that concert.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Orchestra. And Ben is here, along with Susan. We've been talking about some of the wonderful performances they've been having, and the one that they're going to have in just about 3 weeks on June 4th at Providence College. We'll give you those details in the last segment, so you can write them down and make sure that you get there to support this wonderful organization. Ben, lots of things happen in concerts, and sometimes you get lucky, and you stumble upon someone that's just a kind of a supreme talent that, I don't know if you were expecting it or not, but off air we talked about someone called Adrian Taylor.
Yes, Adrian is a great cellist with a spectacular life in music now and in the past, as well as Jesse. They both... Jesse was the violinist, incidentally, in the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto on our March 5th concert that we just played before the break. And they both work at Community Music Works, which is a fantastic music advocacy and music teaching, all things community and music.
Rhode Island's own.
Yeah, it's a state treasure. It's a nonprofit organization that gives free lessons. It's a very special thing. Adrian is a fantastic cellist. She studied at Indiana University and Northwestern University with many teachers who I've met or worked with myself, although not to the degree she has, like Tsuyoshi Tsutsumi, Hans-Jürgen Jensen, and Jano Starker. She was a assistant principal cellist of an orchestra in Portugal, the Orchestra do Norte, and she's performed internationally in Miami, the New World Center Miami Beach, and the Harris Theater in Chicago, and at Carnegie Hall. So she's had a great career as a solo performer, and she's also making recordings. She recorded for the CD called Kilimanjaro, which features the music of Benvindo Cruz, and he was nominated for as the best composer for the Cape Verde Music Awards in 2014. And she's working on a new recording project right at the moment, which we're going to learn more about. I don't know much about it, and she's keeping it under wraps, but we'll find out as we go forward what that is. But obviously, it's going to be something great.
All right, so we're going to listen to her doing a little introduction of the next piece of music. Is that the way this is going to work?
Right. We have the piece she's going to be playing with us on June 4th at 3 p.m. is the Dvorak Cello Concerto, probably the most well-known cello concerto. I think that's safe to say, and one of the great concertos written, and also one of Dvorak's greatest works. And Adrian's going to talk about her relationship to the piece, what it means to her, how she envisions it. And then we have a recording to play of the first movement, which is Mstislav Rostropovich and Herbert von Karajan from the 60s with the Berlin Philharmonic.
We will listen to that, then take another short break and be back after that.
I'm really looking forward to having the opportunity to play the Dvorak Cello Concerto with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Orchestra. Of course, it's one of the great pieces that we have in the cello repertoire. What strikes me about the piece right now, thinking about it, is how American it's sounding to my ears. It's, you know, of course, Dvorak is, you know, such an iconic figure of Czech composition. But he was very influenced by American music, and this is one of the, you know, great works that came out of his time spent in this country, along with the American Quartet and, of course, the New World Symphony. And even though the Cello Concerto doesn't have any sort of name or title that suggests that it was inspired by music from this country, there's something about the melodies to me that just feels very familiar and natural. And, you know, to the point where I just find myself singing some of these melodies just to feel how they should be played. And there's something very American and sometimes pastoral in these sounds to me. And, you know, we do know that Dvorak was quite enamored with American music, especially with spirituals. We know that he had a very good friend, Harry T. Burley, who would visit him regularly, sometimes nightly, and have dinner with Dvorak and afterwards sit down at the piano and play and sing for him. He was a singer. He was a baritone, and he would sing Stephen Foster songs and spirituals, and Dvorak was just fascinated to hear all of this music and to absorb as much of it as he could. And I can't help but feel that that sort of fascination that he had with American music and American spirituals is, you know, also found in the Cello Concerto. And, you know, there's something of an American spirit there for me, you know, as well as, of course, these very clearly Czech influenced sounds as well. And it's really just, I'm delighted to have been asked to come and play this concert, and I'm so much looking forward to playing with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Orchestra in June. Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra and the representatives thereof, which are Ben and Susan. They've been talking about the upcoming concert about 3 weeks away. Susan, I'm going to ask you one more time about the who, what, where, and when.
I know after listening to that beautiful recording of the part of the Dvorak Symphony, you're going to all want to come to our concert, which is June 4th. 2017, Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Smith Center for the Arts at Providence College. And we use the Eaton Street entrance there, where there's a nice big gate and there's plenty of parking. And the tickets are $15 for general admission, $5 for seniors and students, and children under 12 are free. And if you visit NABSCO.org, you may purchase tickets online, and you also may get tickets at the door the day of the concert.
If there's any left.
If there are any left. And I really strongly suggest you go to our website to purchase your ticket online, and hope to see you there. It's going to be a wonderful concert.
Sounds like a great time, and the music has been beautiful. I thank you both for bringing that in. And Ben, we have a little bit more to talk about, one more piece to play. And tell us, at this point, we're going to be able to listen to the orchestra itself, right?
Yes, that's right. This is a concert where we have two big works instead of several smaller ones. The Dvorak is basically a symphony with a cello part. I mean, it's all these things rolled into one. It's a large, large scale work, as big as they get. And the Berlioz Symphonie Fantastique is a 5-movement symphony that tells a story through its 5 movements. Just quickly, it's about Berlioz himself, cast as the artist, you know, the protagonist of the symphony, who falls in. It's hard with after all the movies and everything that we have now to go back and kind of imagine a story the way that such a story used to be. You know, it almost has a edge of humor to it when you tell a story like this now. But it's when you take it at face value and kind of look at how the story is illustrated in the music, it's kind of scary. He falls obsessively in love with a figure that he only calls the beloved. It's something that shows up it's a motive that shows up in the piece over and over again, obsessively, in each movement, usually played on the clarinet. It's even called the idée fixe, the fixed idea. Mm-hmm. It's so fixation, totally. And he sees her in the first movement as kind of a religious vision. That's what the music is and how he described it. So it's just pure, you know, romantic, like getting the vapors, kind of, you know, in a way that it used to be. The second movement, it's argued as a first movement of a symphony, you know, it's contained in the symphonic form. The second movement is a waltz, just a nice contemporary waltz, but he sees the beloved at the dance, and then the waltz goes spinning out of control. He escapes in the third movement to the country. He goes for a quiet day in the country, and there are shepherds calling back and forth across the field. So this is some of the first use outside of opera of some of these devices, like having offstage instruments. This wasn't really done much, but there's an oboe offstage representing a very distant shepherd. And this kind of thing was picked up on by Mahler and many other composers later, this, you know, soundscape kind of idea.
Right.
And the English horn is the other shepherd on stage answering. And then the movement proceeds, and he goes through some mental, you know, she loves me not kind of stuff. And at the end of the movement, one shepherd calls and the other does not answer. And there are these thunderous storm clouds that are played by like 8 timpanists, four timpanists on 8 drums, basically. There's not really anything else like that in the literature. And so then he has a dark feeling about it and goes home and basically takes a nearly fatal dose of of morphine, which is not at all funny, because, you know, we have this big opioid crisis going on everywhere now. But he does not die. He instead has a horrible nightmare, which is, I'm glad it was only that, because I think Berlioz actually probably did this. And he has a dream that he's killed his beloved, the Idéafix, and he's being taken to his own execution. And this is where we've played these last two movements before, where the nightmare happens. We played this in October for our Halloween concert. So I summarized it there before, but I'll do it quickly again. He sees a vision of the beloved on the clarinet, as it has been in every other movement, one final time. Before he can finish his thought, he gets the guillotine and the head bounces, you know, grotesquely down. And this is all in the music. And then they're cheering fanfares that he's been, you know, executed. And then the final movement, which is the one we're going to hear, it takes place all in hell, and he awakens slowly to find he's not in Kansas anymore, whatever, that he's in a bad place, and he hears groans and all kinds of just weird, truly weird, the literal meaning of the word, calls, distant calls, and diminished harmonies, and all kinds of things that were way out there in 1830 when he wrote this piece. That's scarcely after Beethoven died. You know, he had just written the Ninth Symphony a few years earlier. Couldn't be more different. Musical intention. Anyway, that proceeds where she, the beloved, appears again, only transformed into a witch, a cackling witch. And then, to his horror, she's not the only one. There are a whole bunch of witches, and they're all having a grotesque celebration about the fact that he's been killed and transported there. And it just ends in this kind of abject horror. There's a way that we kind of find such a thing funny, because we've seen cartoons and things like that. And this, in fact, leads to the kind of picturesque writing and tone poetry of Richard Strauss and later composers, where they're really trying to vividly depict things that we see in everyday life in music. And it turns out this gets picked up in the early part of this century by people who wrote vivid music for film scores and cartoons. So there's no cartoonish aspect to this, except in retrospect. But you can, there's just a certain edge of weirdness to the music that strikes you as so brilliant that it is almost funny, like that actually this is the picture you get in your head when you hear the music. I don't know if that makes any sense, but come to the Kinds concert and find out if that's true for you.
Well, there you go. Well, we will listen to that. I want to thank you both for coming in. Susan, you did a great job. Thanks for being with us on the air.
It's always fun to be here, Mike.
Nice to have you. And Ben, we look forward to seeing you again. Look forward to seeing you on June 4th.
Thank you.
I hope the concert goes great. We'll listen to a portion of the piece that Ben was talking about, and then the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.